Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, as a woman business leader, I am always interested in stories and topics and statistics and, of course, books, because you know I love them, that have anything at all to do with women and how we engage as business people and as leaders. And not too long ago, I discovered a new book that I plowed through over the weekend, and I was lucky enough to get the author to be here on the show today. The book is called Women Count, A Guide to Changing the World. The author is Susan Buckley Butler, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She has been proving that women count ever since she rose from her roots as a small-town girl in Illinois to become the very first female professional at Arthur Andersen and Company in 1965, and later she became the first female partner of what would eventually become Accenture, the $19 billion global management consulting, technology service, and outsourcing organization. Susan, this is not Susan's first book, but this is the one that I'm fortunate enough to have in front of me and the one that I actually discovered her through. And she's going to talk with us today and share some of her insights and the things that she's learned being a woman about how women count. Susan, welcome to Indy.
Oh, thanks, Donna. It's a delight to be here with you and your audience. I can hardly wait to listen to your questions that you have and to be responsive to your audience.
Well, you know, Susan, I can tell that you are tailor-made, actually, for our audience here, because not only are you a woman, but you are a forward-looking woman of influence who has not only done a lot of research and a lot of homework about the status of women today, not just in business but in an overall sense, but you also have some really neat ideas. And you're a thought leader in this area, so we're really excited to have you. And, you know, I wanted to kick off the show by asking you a question about an article that I saw in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. I blogged about this yesterday, too. And it sort of dovetails with some of the things you mentioned in your book. A gentleman who was a writer for the Wall Street Journal, I think he wrote the Love and Money column, and he also had a job and a wife and a couple of children. He wrote yesterday in a column resigning his position as a writer for the Wall Street Journal about some of the reasons he wanted to leave that column, and one of them was that he wanted to spend more time with his family. And your book touches upon this because it's such an interesting dynamic when we talk about men and women and how women count and how women lead. I know you saw that article. Can you tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are?
Well, it was a very interesting article. I was reading the paper, I guess it was on Sunday's paper, and where he has the column and he actually resigned. So, and then I saw your link when you sent me the email this morning. And it was fun to see someone that says, I resign, which is a big question in everybody's life because, you know, we all have requirements at home, we all have requirements with children, and we all have requirements with our careers. And it's interesting because most men say, well, it's my career, and most women say, well, it's my responsibility at home and my responsibility for the kids, and I'll wrap my career into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we all have one life, and we all need to figure out how to lead that life.
Yeah.
And we as women, I believe, think that we have to do 110% in all of it.
Yes.
And I said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You know,
yeah.
We have to be good enough in all of them if we want to do all of them. And so you'd ask me this question about family obligations, and I think that we have one life and we all have to figure out how to parcel it up and not assume that we have to do 100% of everything. But one of the things that I've gotten linked into is we have to be a partner with our partner.
Mm. That's a great, great notion as well. And I applaud the writer of that article, the gentleman who wrote that, for doing that and sharing so honestly about his thoughts. And just for listeners who are not listening live, that article appeared in the Wall Street Journal on March the 20th, 2011. So you can check that out. And we'll share his name at the end of the show in case you want to search for it. But, you know, Susan, your book is called Women Count. And one of the things that you talk about extensively at the beginning is that there's a difference between counting women and making women count. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, my first title of my book was going to be From Counting Women to Women Count, and that was too long. So I, you know, just said Women Count because that's the ultimate. And too many times we see one woman around the table or maybe two, but rarely up to 30%. And I'm tired of counting women. I'm tired of walking into a group and say, why is there only 6 women in this group of 90? I mean, that's really not fair representation as far as I'm concerned. And I think that, I know that the more women, the more diversity we have around the decision-making table, the better solution to whatever problem we're trying to achieve, the solution's much better and the value delivered from that solution is much better. So that's why I believe we need to get into the mode of Women Count. And August 26, 2020 is the 100th anniversary of the right to vote. And I am on this path to bring equality in sight for women by 2020. And by that I mean we need to get at least 30% on all leadership teams, wherever they are.
It's such a noble goal, and I love that. One of the things your book says that sort of dovetails with what you're saying now is that women in leadership there's no cookie cutter model for this, and it doesn't have to be just in business or as the CEO in a corner office. I want to read this little section where you talk about women counting and making women count is really all about women becoming successful leaders in their families, in their communities, and in their homes. For many, you say, success might not mean being CEO of a company. It might mean being a good CEO of your home. It might mean being a good role model for others or a good member of your community. Susan, I had an interesting conversation just last month with a very accomplished woman. She has a master's degree, 2 children, happily married. She serves on the boards of a variety of different nonprofits in her area. And she's been starting a business off and on for multiple years. And we finally had a chance to sit down and sort of uncovered that she felt, despite all of her accomplishments, that she was really not qualified to say that she was a woman leader unless she had a business of her own.
Well, I believe that people are leaders no matter where they are. If they're a leader, they're a leader. No, you know, wherever they're going to be. And my philosophy is to every person, you are investing your valuable time somewhere. And you need to make a difference for that time you're investing. And that means being a part of the team, being a leader, helping move that organization, whatever it is, whether it's your daughter's or son's school or whether it's your church or wherever it is, you need to help that organization be different, make change happen, and move forward, and be a part of making that change. And that's being a leader.
I love that you said that because I was able to share with my friend, you know, you are a leader. You don't have to be a business owner in order to, be good at what you're doing. And she's such an influence in her community and doing such fabulous things. And actually referred her to your book because I know it will help her to even feel even more empowered about blooming where she's planted and not feeling like, oh, my goodness, all the women I'm reading about have businesses. I need to have one, too.
No, a part of just being a leader for yourself is making opportunities to listen to your next-door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that's all you have to do, but wow, that next-door neighbor got something off her chest or his chest, and you were able to make a valuable contribution just because you listened.
So it's really leadership is not about having a position then, right? Is it something you do? How would you define it? Is there a definition that is nice and short and sweet, or is it more dynamic and...
I think it's a way of life.
I love that.
I think it's a way of life. I think it's how you live every moment of every day of every week of every year, to make things a better place for your having been there. And I don't care how, I mean, whether you're a leader with the money you give, with the time you give, whether you're, you know, in an organization or a company, it's how you lead your life and how you deal with people, and are you a leader?
Leadership is a way of life. So it's a combination of decisions that you make every day in your everyday life that put you in a position of having some kind of influence or impact on other human beings.
Absolutely right. Maybe it's just how you listen.
Mm.
I mean, because I think that women, I know women are better listeners than men.
Mm-hmm.
Men want to solve problems, and we listen, and we help people move forward. And I think just listening to somebody, as I said earlier, get something off their chest, that's all they need. I was with a woman today who just wanted to talk because she's trying to figure out what to do with the rest of her life, to be the CEO of her. And all I did was listen and asked her questions. That's all I did. And she came away with a plan.
Susan, how can we help women? We're busy, we've got spouses maybe, kids, all sorts of other obligations, and there's the sandwich generation that many of us are in with young children and elderly parents. Susan, what are your suggestions for how we can see ourselves in a little bit more of a positive light, even taking the word leader out of the combination, and just the things that we do every day in our lives that you just described that we don't appreciate about ourselves? Do you have any suggestions for helping us
We're too hard on ourselves. There was something I read, or you sent me, or I don't know where I saw it, but it's, well, that meal wasn't good enough. Well, good enough in whose eyes? Why are we so hard on ourselves? And as people used to say, Susan, you're your own worst enemy. And we put ourselves down more than we put ourselves up. And I think one of the biggest things for us to do is to put ourselves up. We did a great job. We did the best we could. My sister, when I was taking care of my mother with Alzheimer's, terrible, terrible, terrible. And my sister said, Susan, you're doing the best you know how, and that's all we can expect. And I was always saying, well, am I doing good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I doing, you're doing the best you know how, and that's all we can expect. Now, it's better if you've got somebody outside of you, too, that's saying, wow, Susan, you're doing a great job. Keep on. Because we all need that outside encouragement, too. But just think about ourselves and how hard we are on ourselves, and let's try to make a difference there.
Susan, when you were just starting your professional career at what is now Accenture, you must have had to remind yourself of that a lot, considering I think your book says that you were hired as a man in a skirt.
Well, I had to prove to people I wasn't hired. I wasn't a man in a skirt because they were so used to having men with black wing tips, and in those days they even wore hats. And so I went around, telling, so people could see that I was a woman. I loved being a woman. I loved to be treated like a woman, that mm-hmm. I wasn't, a man in a skirt.
The reason I used that term, I thought the book said that someone had actually articulated that at some point
to
you.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. They had to go out and see if the clients would accept a man in a skirt. That's what I said in the book, I think. And that was how they described me,
And you also said that, in your day-to-day dealings with your colleagues, you ultimately had to start inviting yourself to lunch because no one ever invited you to come with them.
Well, see, that's the women's thing. They think you know, I thought I needed to be invited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and soon I had to learn that there's no invitation. You know, you just go up and say, gee, can I join you for lunch? You know, I thought they were all going out and had a problem they needed to deal with, or I was imposing or something like that. But as a result, I ate a lot of lunches by myself.
But you had as much to offer as them, and when and you, of course, always knew that, but when you began to behave that way, right, did you see things change in terms of the way you were accepted, the way you were approached as a professional colleague?
Well, first of all, I had to get my own confidence up, and that's one of the things that we as women need to deal with, is getting our own confidence up, stepping out of the box, taking on a little risk, asking, may I join you for lunch? I mean, that was a risk. You know, I didn't know, but I had to get my confidence up to go do that. And once we get out of the box and start building our confidence, then we're able to, you know, better integrate with the business world, with everything, you know, we have. A lot of people have lack of confidence in their voice, and does their point of view count? Well, we need to learn how to use our voice, because, you know, everybody's point of view is just a point of view, and ours is just as good as anybody else's. But we got to get used to that. Step out of the box.
And so we have to take a risk in order to be able to fully embrace who we are as women leaders, and to demonstrate to ourselves first that we do have the capability of counting in the way that your book talks about.
Precisely. And it's really demonstrating confidence in ourselves.
And
because lots of other people have confidence. In I had a situation where I was needed to be on a project team, and I found somebody else because internally – I didn't have enough confidence in myself to be a part of that project team. But I didn't see it as, well, nobody was going to let me fail. And this was an opportunity for me to expand my wings, to build confidence in myself, and to demonstrate to myself that I could do it.
We have to start with how we perceive ourselves. It's not, you know I work with a lot of small business owners, and we're so concerned with how people are going to look at our products, the services we offer, what are they going to think about how my hair looks and this marketing brochure, whatever, whatever. We have to start with how we perceive ourselves. We have to start by changing our own perceptions before we can impact others in positive ways. Is that a good way to think about it?
Absolutely right. And I can guarantee you that if we go in there with a negative perception of ourselves, they'll see it too.
What we do then oftentimes is we can predict our own outcome by our own behavior.
Precisely.
So if we surround ourselves, is one of the things that we can do, Susan, and you've done this so brilliantly because, you know, as I read your book, I note, you know, when you talk about your friends and the other women that you are connected to, it's very clear that you have a strong network of people that support you. How important has that been to you?
Well, it's been absolutely essential from the day that I started to work at Arthur Andersen and Company because there weren't any women there. So I don't know how I thought about this, but I found a women's network that I went out and joined, American Society of Women Accountants. I joined it because I needed to learn about the accounting business. I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to really operate it. I wanted to be in a safe environment so I could ask what I thought were dumb questions and learn. And it turned out that it was a big opportunity for me to see women leaders in action, senior women leaders as role models, and building my own leadership skills in that environment a lot sooner than I would have done it at Arthur Andersen. So people on your team are absolutely essential. Role models are absolutely essential. We can't do it by ourselves. And I love being on other people's teams and just encouraging them to do great things, because that's what team members do. They push you out of, you know, get you out of your comfort zone, and they're confident that you can do it, and they're there if you have some questions. We need to learn how to ask questions because we feel like we have to know everything. Well, we don't.
You know, it's interesting that we're talking to you about networks. I get questions a lot from people who I guess women who don't really ask about how to become a part of a network, they ask about how to find a mentor. And, you know, I think people tend to sometimes define a mentor in a very narrow way. And I just want to say that just that I've been on our show here for you with you for 20 minutes. It took me a couple of hours to read your book. And to me, you are already a mentor and would have been had I never had this show with you on it. So can you comment on how we can more broadly define a mentor as not somebody that has to, that we have to take out to lunch or, you know, do certain things in order to learn from, right? We can find them everywhere.
And we just have to be cognizant of who's out there and what anybody can provide us. I mean, those women that are in my book, they were all friends of mine. Those organizations that they'd started up, they were all friends of mine. I'd been involved with them. And you know, we're good for each other because we push each other and we congratulate each other and that kind of thing. You know, you and I feel like I've known you for years based on this 10-minute, 15-minute conversation. So you're right. I mean, you're on my team and I'm on your team, and that's what it's all about. And I worry about people, and women specifically, that don't have mentors, that they're not learning from other people, that they're not engaging in other people so they can learn from them. And other people can learn from me. I mean, it's a two-way street.
And these days, it's easier than ever, and more, I guess, mentors are more accessible than ever before, in large part, would you say, because of technology and how we can use that to help each other in so many ways?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, technology is there, and I talk about, in my other book, I talk about being a virtual mentor, which is, you know, getting together online, on the phone, whatever. But I would also say that there are still a lot of women out there that believe, well, I got here by myself and so can you. And so I believe
right.
It's up to us, for us to all pull women up behind us so we can take on more responsibility above us and move up the food chain.
Now, I have to say, Susan, I don't think I have ever knowingly encountered a woman like that. I do have a one of my members who always talks, when she's a very accomplished business person. Her business is very successful. She's surpassed $1 million, you know, annual sales point, which is fantastic. One of the things she always talks about is how, you know, as much as she wants to continue to grow and focus on her business, she doesn't want to pull the ladder up behind her. I think about that a lot. I have not met women or encountered women knowingly who don't have that attitude. So my question to you is this, because I guess maybe I'm lucky or maybe I just don't pay attention to women like that, how can we help other people who have the opposite experience from me? That is, that seems to be all they come in contact with.
Well, it's interesting. I was just working with a group of women today, and we're putting together a group to figure out how these women can move forward in their company. And last time we got together, there was this one woman that they said, well, she doesn't care about other women at all. You know, she's just there for herself, but she's senior, but she's not helping anybody. So they reached out to her and said, you know, would you be a part of this this meeting where we're going to talk about women progressing up into the company. And, you know, but she wasn't anybody that she doesn't help people. But she said, yes, I'll be a part of it. So now maybe, you know, she got it and realized that she wasn't helping other women and she needed to be in this group to help other women. But there's a lot of women out there that they're men in a skirt,
mm-hmm.
as an example, you know, mm-hmm. and they're very hard-nosed, they're, you know, they care a lot about the company, but they're not great people developers, and
so
specifically not women developers.
We have to be proactive and do what maybe I'm doing, which is not seeing them, and only look for the ones who we sense do have the kind of the other proactive attitude. That is the one that is in tune with the benefits to themselves as well as to others of being helpful and not pulling that ladder up behind them. And Susan, right, we can find those people, but they're not going to, like, fall in our lap. We have to be proactive. We have to get dressed and go to the networking meeting and, you know, pay the membership dues and show up in order to get what we say we need. Is that a fair conclusion?
I totally agree with that. But otherwise, another point, Donnie, is I don't see a lot of them now either. And maybe it's because of the kinds of people that we are, that we're very positive and that we're always pulling women up, that we don't see the others.
And I've been, I mean, I have a prior career as an attorney in a Fortune 500 company, plus I've had my own business for 11 years. So I encounter people who don't have those experiences. So I've been around the barn a couple of times now. So I think I maybe have been able to psychologically weed that out. So that's why I asked that question. For younger women who don't have that background and haven't encountered anybody who really wants to reach back and help them, that we really still have to say, okay, I've got to go find it. It's just not going to come to me. I must make it happen.
Right. But a mentor is just somebody to say, gee, could I have a cup of coffee with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to talk over something that just happened to me today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to share, too, that I met a gentleman in passing once many, many years ago. And when I started my radio show 5 years ago, he isn't a woman, obviously, but when I started my show 5 years ago, I found that he had a new book that came out. I sent him an email, you know, saying we met 10 years ago when we were both lawyers. And he immediately wrote me back and said, I'd love to be on your show. And he came on, he's been on twice, actually, because he's written several books since then. And I noticed that, you know, he wanted to be helpful to me. So it's not just women either. He's a dad, he's a husband, he's a lot of women in his life, he has daughters and things. And so he told me, you know, I'm so glad that you called. When I went up to D.C. several months ago, I took him out to lunch. He chose the restaurant, too. It set me back quite a bit. But I got to tell you, it was the most amazing time of learning for me. And he was very frank with me. He told me, you know, I see some really big holes in what you're doing. This is what you might want to do. So, again, it was me reaching out and putting myself at risk because he could have chopped me off. He could have never responded at all. You
right.
just got to do things like that to get yourself in a position to get the kind of mentoring that you can benefit from.
As I say, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it all starts with our being confident in ourselves. And Susan, what do you think about this? Because so many of us, I struggle in my own life with self-confidence, but I sort of ignore it and go, well, I'm never going to get what I want if I'm acting like that. So let me just pretend like I'm confident in this situation. What would I do if I was confident? I would send him an email and invite him to be on my show, and lo and behold,
right.
it worked. So
right.
is that sort of one thing that we can sort of do is to sort of psych ourselves up and ignore the fact that we don't have confidence and pretend
well,
like we do?
here's what I learned. When to say yes and when to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I say no if I'm truly not the right person. I mean, don't put me in a financial position because that ain't my subject. But if I'm saying no because of my confidence, then that's when I say, okay, Susan, you have to say yes here. Because you're in your own way.
Excellent.
You're
saying
confident. Yeah, get out of your own way. Get out of your own comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and move on.
What a great confidence. What a great way to conclude today's Indie Business Podcast. I am astounded that we have actually been talking for almost 30 minutes. It seems to me
too.
Like 2 seconds. But Susan has graciously agreed to come back. Talk more specifically about leadership where your small business is concerned. We haven't set a date for that yet, but I want you to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, please check out this book. It's a quick read, a fantastic read for any woman at all, whether you have a business or not. It's called Women Count, A Guide to Changing the World. Her name is Susan Bulkley Butler. You can Google her. I'm going to spell that middle name, B-U-L-K-E-L-E-Y, Susan Bulkley Butler. You can check her out on Twitter at Susan B. Butler. And also, again, the title of the book, Women Count, A Guide to Changing the World. I want to hear what you think about it. I loved this book. Thank you so much, Susan, for being with us today.
Donna, it has been a delight. Thank you very much. I look forward to chatting with you again.
We'll be here next time, next week, right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.